Hi, my name is Lars Iver and I'm a program manager on the Hyper-V team, and today I will show you how to manage your Windows containers using Docker. So what we have on the screen here is a direct connection to a virtual machine configured using the setup instructions, and what I will show you now is managing containers using Docker. So let me type my password real quick. And as you will notice, this is just a command line, command prompt, since this is a Windows Server Core edition. So the first thing that I'll actually do to give us more room to operate is start a second window, a PowerShell window, and move that over to the site. Now, the first thing to do in this environment is run Docker images. This lists all existing container images that are present on the current machine. I can now create a new container using Docker run, specifying the -it parameter to show that I want to run an interactive session, and specifying the Windows Server Core image and the program that I want to run inside the container, which is the command line. While that is spinning up, let me just bring up the IP addresses of my container host. As you can see, I have one which is my private IP and one for the NAT environment. Inside of the container, I only have a NAT IP address. So this looks just like a regular Windows environment. Let me just create a new file while piping ipconfig into a file. ipconfig.txt, this is the content, and let's exit the container now. Using Docker PS-A, I can list all previously running and all currently running containers. And I will use this container ID to create a new container image based on the container that we previously edited. This is the command docker commit, and I specify the container ID and the image name that I want to use later on. This process takes some time since it's analyzing all the contents that are in the base image and what has been modified, and commits that to a container image. The container image could contain any installed apps, any managed files, or any manipulated files. I could move content around, I could change configuration inside of this, and then create a container image. And the main advantage is here that spinning up new containers based on a specific container image is fast afterwards. So while the creation process takes some time, it gives us the container ID right now. So this image has been created, as you can see, demo 1, and I can now run a new container based on this image. I'm specifying the --rm, telling Docker to immediately delete the container after I've exited it, and I'm specifying that I want, instead of Windows Server Core, that I want demo 1 to be the base image that this container is based on. As you can see, if I run Docker PS on my host now, there's one running container, which is demo 1. And there is an exited container still, which we use to create our demo 1 image. ipconfig.txt is still there in this container environment since it was in the base image, and the content, of course, is also there. If I now exit the container environment and rerun Docker PS-A, you can see that the container has automatically been removed after we've exited it. Switching over to another way of actually creating container images, which is Docker files. I've prepared something which is basically, I've extracted the content of nginx.zip into this directory. And we'll create a new Docker file now, which is simply first an empty file, and then we'll edit it using Notepad. A Docker file is simply kind of a batch file to instruct Docker how to create a new container image. So we say it should be based on Windows Server Core, and we want to add everything that is in the source directory to the root directory of the container. Saving that, I can now run docker build -t to give it a name, Nginx, and the dot simply refers to building the current directory. It's currently doing almost the same things that we did earlier manually. It's adding the sources, it's creating a new container and committing that. If I run Docker images now, you'll see that we have an Nginx container image created. Next step, we'll run an Nginx container actually. And the only thing that we're doing differently now is actually specify a port mapping. Since our host is configured in NAT mode by default, we'll say port 80 from the host should be redirected to port 80 in the container environment. Only one thing left, we have to create a firewall rule. I've prepared that as well. Since I don't really type that fast, I've created a small PowerShell script which simply runs the command to open port 80 in the firewall. Now, back to the container environment, simply running Nginx. It now listens on port 80 with a default website. I didn't really change anything there. If I go now to my host and call the actual IP address of the host, then you can see Nginx is running within the container and I can reach it from outside of the container host. That concludes our first look at managing Windows containers using Docker. Thanks for watching.